This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, December 11th. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of The Wall Street Journal in New York. Every year, we're producing more and more data, and our computers are struggling to keep up. There's just not enough storage space. Now, scientists are turning to a new solution, DNA. Our reporter, Lee Hotz, will join us to explain in just a minute. But first, let's check some headlines. House Democrats have agreed to support the newest version of the USMCA. That's the trade deal between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada to replace NAFTA. What does that have to do with tech? The final deal mandates the free flow of data among the three countries, and it includes liability protections for online content, which Democrats have been opposed to. They only got on board with the trade deal this week after lengthy negotiations. Here's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi at a press conference Tuesday morning.
There is no question, of course, that this trade agreement is much better than NAFTA. But in terms of our work here, it is infinitely better than what was initially proposed by the administration.
Facebook says it's moving forward with plans to integrate end-to-end encryption across its messaging platforms. In doing so, the company is defying a plea from Attorney General Bill Barr. Earlier this year, Barr asked that Facebook allow some sort of government access to those services. He said in a letter that end-to-end encryption would make it nearly impossible for the government to stop criminals who might be using the platforms to communicate. But Facebook execs pushed back. They argue that allowing access for the government could create a backdoor vulnerability, which criminals and hackers could leverage as well. And Goldman Sachs is making an early bet on quantum computing technology. The bank is partnering with the startup QCWare. In the coming months, QCWare will help Goldman apply quantum computing to certain algorithms and AI-based decision-making processes. On traditional computers, those calculations could take hours. Quantum computers can use quantum physics principles to handle those kinds of calculations significantly faster, theoretically. We should note that the technology is still new and no commercial-grade equipment has been built just yet. So this partnership is a sign that Goldman Sachs is betting it's worth it to get in the game early. I'm sure this has happened to you. It's happened to me more than once. Have you ever run out of storage space on your computer or your phone or your hard drive? You're not alone. In 2016, humans generated 16.1 trillion gigabytes of digital information. And that number is expected to climb. But the technologies that we use today to store that information are reaching their limits. And scientists are now turning to something new, DNA. If that sounds strange, here to explain is our reporter, Lee Hotz. Lee, thanks for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So this is a little confusing. What does DNA have to do with data storage?
DNA is the ultimate data storage and retrieval device. Nature has spent 4 billion years crafting this. Look at yourself. I mean, a single cell at the end of your nose holds all of the data that it takes to create a human being. And that's billions and billions of code sequences.
DNA is biological. So how we could store information that we're creating, how does that relate to our biological DNA?
Well, it's code, and code is code is code, whether it's biological or whether you're making your storage medium out of sand. DNA is, as many of your listeners will know, a biochemical chain of very simple nucleotides that have the propensity to bind together in certain very ordered, predictable sequences. That's a code, just as binary. Zeros and one is a code. To turn language or the pixels of a video or anything else that strikes our fancy into something that we can store and then shoot through a computer.
And so computer scientists are now looking at DNA as a way to code. So how do they do that?
Well, as so much of our biotechnology industry has been busy with these many decades, we are finding computational, biochemical, laboratory ways of doing what comes naturally. It's a great industrialization of DNA. It's been going on since we first figured out how to cut and splice them in the late 70s and early 80s. But when you start using its capacity for information carrying, you want to be able to sort of write a sentence, translate it into the A, G, C, T. I have to count those on my fingers to remember the four, which are the zero equivalent of zeros and ones in biochemical DNA code. But then you want to be able to read them, and you want to be able to read them in the way that we can now read an electronic binary code, which is to say unbelievably fast, so fast it's seamless.
So this week we saw a bit of a breakthrough, and it has to do with a bunny.
It's true. A small plastic bunny, 3D printed.
And what does this bunny have to do with DNA?
This bunny, embedded in the plastic from which it's made, are tiny little nanospheres, little glass spheres that contain DNA, which is coded with the 3D printing instructions required to make the bunny. So you could, in theory, and in fact in practice, snip a tiny piece of that bunny's ear, dissolve it in a solvent, extract the beads in which the DNA is contained, get the DNA out of the beads, read it, sequence it, extract the 3D printing instructions, and make yourself another bunny. And in fact, they have done this to prove that it works. Now, this is kind of a stunt, but what it tells you is that we have solved, in principle, one of the key problems of DNA data storage, which is how to archive it. And what's fascinating about this particular idea of using DNA as a form of data storage is that you can actually mold it into any shape you want. I mean, typically the storage medium that you use for a computer, it has a particular shape, and the shape is very closely related to its function. I mean, the disk of a hard drive, if you muck with the shape, you ruin its ability to read and write. You can make DNA in this way into a bunny. You can store it almost invisibly in virtually any manufactured item, in any product. In fact, to just sort of prove its versatility, these researchers, one of whom is the chief science officer for MyHeritage, is his day job. The other is a material scientist at ETH Zurich in Switzerland. They decided they wanted to just show how much information you could put into a common everyday object without giving away the fact that this object had any information in it at all. And so what they did was they took an entire archive of documents, coded it down into DNA, and then put them into the plexiglass of an optical lens and a pair of eyeglasses. And the left lens, I believe, of the eyeglasses in particular that they made, is suffused with these documents. You can't see anything. It doesn't interfere with the optical properties of the lens because it's all happening at such a minute level, as a matter of material science, it doesn't show up to the naked eye.
Yeah, so what is the bigger picture? You said you called this a stunt. What is the bigger picture relevance of this finding? Where do you think it's going?
Right now, when I talk to these scientists and ask them just that question, they look at me and they say, you know, we're just scientists daydreaming. But since you asked, here's some of the ideas that they have. For instance, medical implants. You would be able to embed into the actual sort of structure of the implant itself, not just any relevant product information about the materials it was made from, what company made it, what doctor prescribed it, all the electronic health records of the person who needed it, plus any Food and Drug Administration safety regulations and all of the blueprints and instructions needed to duplicate it should it ever break and you need to make a new one. You could just plug this into your 3D printer, which we'll all have, right? And it will spit out a new implant. You could do this with dental crowns because the amount of information that you can store, while not limitless, is for all intents and purposes ginormous. Would that be the technical term?
It sounds like a huge issue, though, for intellectual property. You know, I have that bunny, and the bunny has the information for how to duplicate it and make it. It has the blueprints for how to do it inside of it, which is great if you're a company that wants to take that bunny and make a lot of them.
That's a fair point. You would not have the kind of intellectual property protection that you might, as a manufacturer, enjoy today by locking your blueprints into a safe. But on the other hand, particularly in the biomedical realm, when they talk to me about this, there is a lot of demand for information to follow the patient. Follow the patient to the emergency room, to the urgent care center. This would be a way of handling that situation. Now, that said, at this moment, there's absolutely no way for a doctor to kind of extract this DNA and read it while you're sitting there in his or her waiting room. That's the hurdle.
Lee Hotz, thank you so much for joining us today.
Always a pleasure.
And that was your Tech News Briefing. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of The Wall Street Journal in New York. Thanks for listening.